Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. We know that you are expert in the meaning of all subjects, except some portions of the Vedas. And thus, you can clearly explain the answers to all the questions we have just put to you. Purport. The difference between the Vedas and the Puranas is like that between the Brahmanas and the Parivrajikas. The Brahmanas are meant to administer some fruitive sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas, but the Parivrajikacharyas, or learned preachers, are meant to disseminate transcendental knowledge to one and all. As such, the Parivrajikacharyas are always expert in pronouncing the Vedic mantras, which are practiced systematically by accent and meter by the Brahmanas, who are meant for administering Vedic rites. Yet it should be considered that the Brahmanas, yet it should not be considered that the Brahmanas are more important than the itinerant preachers. They are one and different simultaneously, because they are meant for the same end in different ways. There is no difference also between the Vedic mantras and what is explained in the Puranas and Itihasas. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, it is mentioned in the Madhyandina Shruti that all the Vedas, namely the Sama, Atharva, Rig, Yajur, Puranas, Itihasas, Upanishads, etc., are emanations from the breathing of the Supreme Being. The only difference is that the Vedic mantras are mostly begun with the pranav omkar, and it requires some training to practice the metric pronunciation of the Vedic mantras. But that does not mean that Srimad Bhagavatam is of less importance than the Vedic mantras. On the contrary, it is the ripened fruit of all the Vedas, as stated before. Besides that, the most perfectly liberated soul, Srila Shukadev Goswami, is absorbed in the studies of the Bhagavatam, although he is already self-realized. Srila Suta Goswami is following his footsteps, and therefore his position is not the least less important, because he was not expert in the chanting of Vedic mantras with metric pronunciation, which depends more on practice than actual realization. Realization is more important than parrot-like chanting. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuna Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Nishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Verse again. Tatsarvam dasamak chakshwa, prishto yari hakinchana, manye tvam vishayeva chamsnatham, anyatra chandasat. We know that you are expert in the meanings of all subjects, except some portions of the Vedas, and thus you can clearly explain the answers to all the questions we have just put to you. So, very important point of the Bhagavatam here at the beginning, as Shaunaka Rishi is speaking to Suta Goswami, and we should understand that even though Shaunaka Rishi has been elected to represent, who is he representing? The sages of Naimisharanya, as the questioner, the petitioner of knowledge, the representative on their behalf who will inquire. Earlier mentions the potency of questions and answers. The whole world, Srila Prabhupada said, is going on by questions and answers. So we should always have some questions. The Vedanta Sutra, we hear, begins with this. One should inquire into the Absolute. We should ask questions. We should want to know, who am I? What am I doing here? How should I do whatever I'm supposed to be doing here? We should seek out Tadvidi Pani Patana Priti Prashnena Sevya. We should seek out a spiritual master, render service, inquire submissively. We have to accept that there's a lot for us to learn. Probably no matter how long we're around. I was speaking with one senior devotee yesterday, and he was explaining that it's a perpetual journey of learning, that ultimately we may make mistakes forever, but the idea is that we at least learn from them. The Bhagavad Gita explains that every endeavor is covered by some fault, which brings up an interesting point that's kind of discussed here a little bit, which is that here Shaunaka Rishi is speaking to Suta Goswami, and he's saying that you're expert in the meaning of all subjects, except a few parts of the Vedas. You're expert in everything, except some of the Vedas. Now, maybe for us, that's like, yeah, it's okay, no big deal. Like someone might say, you're expert in so many things, except, you know, a couple of things you don't know about, but you're expert. But, you know, the sages of Naimisharanya, they've been sitting around fires for a long time, right? Feeding the fires, doing what? Chanting Vedic mantras. So in one sense, it's also quite an important point that he's not so expert in some parts of the Vedas, right? Some of the, it's very nice, he was here earlier, I don't know if he's still here, but Krishna Dharma Puru, getting great inspiration from reading his books and Chintamani Dham Machaji's books about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and discussing how the gathering of these sages, both with Shukadeva and Parikshit, and also with Shaunaka and Suta Goswami, that there are persons of many different mentalities present. It's not just that everyone there was, you know, bhaktas, or even amongst the bhaktas, pure devotees. There were persons of all different kind of understandings and conceptions of Vedic knowledge and Vedic philosophy. And, you know, Shaunaka Rishi, he's pointing out here that you're not expert in certain areas of the Vedas. So for some people, this might be a concern. We may not run into it so much, but especially amongst Indian culture in India, there are persons who are known as smartas. And for the smartas, it's all about the Shruti. It's all about Shruti, not about Smriti. Because Shruti is that which has been revealed. That which has been revealed and heard and then repeated. So that's the Vedas and the Upanishads. This is the Shruti, and it's all about the Shruti. The Itihasas and the Puranas and the other texts, they're kind of relegated a little bit. They're secondary. It's all about the Shruti. It's all about the Vedas. But actually, in the age that we live in, it's all about the Smriti. It's all about the Smriti. It's all about the Puranas. And it's all about specifically the Bhagavat Purana. It's all about the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Smritis described, they were generated specifically for those who are of lower class, who couldn't conceive or really get the Vedic mantras, people who didn't have the qualification. Anyone here has been trained to perform brahminical service? Any brahmanas here? Any yogic brahmins? Anyone? Anyone practicing some of the mantras? Okay. Don't worry, it's no loss. It's okay. But if you ever do, try to learn the mantras. You see that just like for me when first coming to the temple, just reciting the Sanskrit shlokas is difficult enough, right? Maybe not for all of you because you're also expert. But picking up on all the subtleties, the long A instead of the short A, you know, the accents over the S, the dot under the N, which is like, you know, it can be a challenge, especially for people from Western background. You know, I still have friends who've been around for a long time in Krishna consciousness and they can't even pronounce Prabhupada's name correctly. So it's a challenge, a real challenge. But if you look at the Vedic mantras that are recited, especially for yajnas, they have a whole extra series of accents and markings and diacritics that make you do things like, you know, and do all kinds of different chanting of the mantras. And if you listen, especially if you go to South India and you listen to the Brahmanas chant, it's hypnotizing. It's mesmerizing. But they practice for hours and hours from childhood. But as Srila Prabhupada says here, that it's more about practice than it is about realization. It's more about practice than it is about realization. Means that you're kind of just learning the meter, understanding the notes, but you might not even really know the meaning of what you're actually saying. So you're just chanting. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is saying realization is more important than just parrot-like chanting. So sometimes even for us, we may be like parrot-like chanting. I find especially Mangalarti, Gurvastakam, Samsaradava Nalalita Loka. We may be chanting, but we're still half asleep sometimes, right? anyone has that experience, that we may not really be pulling to the forefront of our consciousness what we're actually saying, right? So we may not really be thinking, because we're singing in a language that may be foreign to us, we may not really be thinking about what we're saying. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. That we're offering respect to the spiritual master, offering devotion to the spiritual master, glorification of the spiritual master. So sometimes there can be a disconnect between what we're saying and what we're understanding. So Prabhupada is making this very powerful point that realization is more important than just practice or parrot-like chanting. And for us, Smriti, and in Kali Yuga, Smriti is more important, because those persons who are expert at chanting the Vedic mantras are very few. In fact, far and few between. But as is described in the Vedic texts and the Shastra, that in Kali Yuga, even someone who's born in a family of dog eaters, if they understand and are fixed in the science, I think the word is Brahmanishta, if they're fixed in the science of Krishna, then they're on the highest platform. Then they can achieve perfection. So by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, who this pastime is about to be narrated, because Srila Vyasadeva had compiled all the Vedas, right? He had compiled all the Vedas. He had compiled the itihasas. And after all of that, still he wasn't happy. Still he wasn't feeling that happiness. Something was missing. And he wasn't sure what the problem was. What more do you want from me? Right? What more can I do? I've compiled the Vedas, for God's sakes. And all the Puranas, except for one, the Itihasas, Mahabharata, all of these things he had compiled, but still wasn't feeling satisfied. Jai Shishi Radha Gokul Ananda Ki Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gaurani Tai Ki. So what did he have to do? He had to approach his spiritual master and inquire, what's wrong? I mean, this is such an elevated person. He's compiled the entire Vedic literature and he's still not feeling the nectar. And he's done it for the benefit of the whole world. He's not just done it selfishly, but still he's not feeling it. And by the mercy of Sripad Narada Muni, he explained to him, yeah, you've done so much, but you haven't done the most important thing. You haven't given the essence of all the Vedic scriptures. You haven't glorified, as Srila Prabhupada refers to, you haven't glorified the Supreme Being. You haven't specifically glorified the Supreme Being. And who is that Supreme Being? Lord Krishna. So he encouraged him to compile the Bhagavad Purana, to expand the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, because this would be the thing that fills you with happiness. So I was thinking how relevant this is for myself and maybe for some of us, because the Bhagavad Gita explains that devotional service should be susukam kartam avyayam. It should be joyfully performed. Susukam kartam avyayam. We should be joyful in the performance of devotional service. But I don't know if I'm alone. Sometimes it's not always so joyful. Anyone else has that experience? That sometimes it feels that there's a little pinch. It can be a little bit like, oh, you know. Purification. Devotees talk about, I'm getting purified, Prabhu. You know, purification is there. What to do? You know, sometimes things mount up, pile up on us. Seems like insurmountable, too much to handle. Krishna! Why are you doing this to me? What's happening? I'm supposed to be joyful. Right? Prabhupada said, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Right? There's one talk he was saying like this. In ISKCON, we are simply chanting, dancing, and feasting. And some devotees said, but Prabhupada, we're doing a lot more than just chanting. No! You are simply chanting, dancing, and feasting. But Prabhupada, we're taking on so much. There's so much. No! Simply, we are chanting, dancing, and feasting. Why? Because all of our activities are directed to facilitating those three activities. Simply, we're dancing, chanting, and feasting. Right now, we're feasting. Some of you are thinking about the feast that's coming at the end of this. Feasting with the ears. Unfortunately, the feast is not so good. I'm sorry about that. But at least hearing from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, we feasting with the ears. Just a few minutes ago, we were dancing and chanting. From the inside, sometimes it seems like that's not what we're doing. But from the outside, you meet people and they say, oh, you Hare Krishnas, all you do is sit around and chant all day. Right? I've had many people accuse, what's your problem? Your life is so simple. All you do is chant Hare Krishna, right? Not exactly. But in one sense, yes. Everything we do should be the chanting and the extolling of the glories of the Lord, right? And whatever we're doing. But sometimes this idea of susukam kartam avyayam seems a little lost. But then we have to see, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna in this program? Sometimes there's not enough Krishna in the program. We may be Hare Krishnas, and we may be serving Krishna, but somehow we're still missing Krishna. Means, are we really absorbed in, are we actually Krishna conscious? It's kind of a subtle thing. It's very subtle that you can be with tilak, shaved or not shaved, and, you know, wearing devotional clothing, singing and dancing, but the mind can be a million miles away, so far away, thinking about so many other things. And we may wonder why we feel morose or lost or upset or discouraged, maybe even anguish, depressed. These things happen. But where is Krishna? You know, when I used to be out on Sankirtan, I forget who it was that said this, but we used to, I think it was Dao Nitai Prabhu. He was saying that when you go out on book distribution and do Sankirtan, because sometimes you have rough, anyone goes on book distribution, any Sankirtan devotees? You know, sometimes you can have a tough day. You know? It's like, oh no, no one's stopping, everyone's saying no. But he was describing how we shouldn't ever forget that Krishna is a little cowherd boy who just likes to play. Like, he just likes to play. That's what little boys do, isn't it? Right? They like to play. And he's a little boy. He's a little cowherd boy. And he's mischievous. And he likes to play with his friends, and they play all kinds of games, so he really likes to play. The problem is that sometimes we get so serious that we don't like to play. Right? Like, we forget that Krishna likes to play. It's actually about having fun. Krishna consciousness should be susukam kartam avyayam. It should be joyfully performed. when you're out on the street and you're thinking, oh no, what's happening? We should be like, Krishna, where are you? Like the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna, Krishna, where are you, Krishna? Why are you hiding, Krishna? And you start looking. You can just go up to people and say, have you seen Krishna? You have to make it fun, right? By injecting Krishna, by looking for Krishna, trying to see Krishna. That also becomes easier the more that we hear about Krishna, the more that we read about Krishna, the more that we study about Krishna, the more that we chant his glories, the deeper we chant the holy name, the more Krishna conscious we become. And obviously the less that we do that, or with less attention, the less Krishna conscious we are, and the more likely that the material energy will have its way with us. So this hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names is like the inoculation against the material energy. And we have to take it very seriously. We have to take it seriously. We have to take the inoculation seriously so that we can be joyful in Krishna's service. Like the lotus that sits atop the water, you know. It's kind of in the world, but not in of the world, you know, as Lord Jesus said. And it's not affected. And it sits there and it shines with all its beauty, but if a drop of water lands on it, it just rolls off. We've all had that experience when sometimes we're so high in Krishna consciousness. We're, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, when we're overflowing, we have to distribute the overflow. But to distribute the overflow, you got to turn on the tap somewhere, you know. You got to put the juice in. But sometimes we feel that when we're overflowing, and you can confront sometimes the most difficult thing, and it's just like, not affected. Whereas other times it seems like, right? Anyone has that experience? Am I just preaching to myself only here? Okay. So we have to put the juice in, and that juice is Krishna. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's books, like regularly, steadily. I was thinking this first canto, because we're doing the 11th canto in Soho Street. I was thinking, we're almost finished the Bhagavatam, but here started with the first canto. But the first canto, and of course being inspired by Yadubar Prabhu and Vishakha Mataji's wonderful film that they've dedicated their entire lives to being able to produce and gift to the world. It's like if the Itihasas and the Puranas are the fifth Veda, then that film is the sixth Veda. Because it's utilizing the medium by which the Kali Yuga fallout victims can most easily access spiritual knowledge. I mean, I know so many of you meet people when you preach to new people. A lot of times, people these days, their spiritual wisdom has come from some movie. Oh yeah, you say something, like sometimes we'll be chatting with people and you say something from the Bhagavatam or something that Srila Prabhupada taught, and they say, oh yeah, there was something like that in this movie. Like we were talking about reincarnation the other day, and I can't remember the movie, but someone said, yeah, I saw this movie. And I said about karma, oh yeah, there was this movie. And then I was thinking, it's really good that we have a movie, so people can actually go to that movie and, you know, get some spiritual knowledge. But I was thinking that the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, once he finished the first volume, he came to the West. And he said that everything, I've put everything in the first volume, even though he instructs and guides us to read systematically. But he didn't know what was going to happen. So he tried to put everything into the first volume of the Bhagavatam. And it's so deep. Like just even reading this, having read through the Bhagavatam, you know, some times now. And still, when you come back, there's always new nectar there. You know, reading this verse and hearing about the Parvrajakacharyas and this analogy that Srila Prabhupada is giving, comparing the Vedas to the Puranas. And he says it's like the Brahmanas and the Parivrajakacharyas. And it's kind of like, what? Whoa, where did that come from? And then I was like, and then the term that he used, you know, the way he was, the Parivrajakas, they're the preachers. And I was thinking, okay, I thought they were like sannyasis. Okay, but sannyasis are preachers. And then he gives, you know, there's the four levels of sannyas, right? Once you take sannyas, move through the Vedic system, you come to the point of vanaprastha, and then after vanaprastha is, anyone knows sannyas, but what's the first? Kuti chaka, which means that after vanaprastha, you may live in the same village or house, but you have like a little shed or cottage outside. So you move away from the family and you live separately from the family, but the family still bring you something to eat. It's a gradual, this is the brilliance of the Vedic culture. It never pushes or rushes anybody. It's all about steady, gradual development according to your nature. Of course, sometimes we try to rush ourselves, and that can be dangerous. But the first one, kutichak, which means you have a little cottage, the family brings you some prasad. Then hits bahudat, which means that then you start to go out and do madhukari. Because it's still about food. Even at the level of taking sannyas, still the first two stages are about figuring out how I'm going to eat. Prasad is so important. You know, this anamoya consciousness. Even taking sannyas, the first two stages are like, okay, I'm just slowly weaning myself off the good cooking of my wife or mother or whatever. Then you go beg door to door, madhukari. Prabhupada says, madhukari means the profession of the bees. The profession of the bees. So you go door to door, please, please, whatever you can give, you know, some roti, some. And then comes Parivrajakacharya, which means then you just travel and preach. And it describes earlier that Shukadev Goswami, they were glorifying Shukadev Goswami, and they say, you would go door to door and basically just, but you would only stay long enough to beg a little, as long as it takes to milk a cow. And it said, and that wasn't even for you. That was for their benefit. So it wasn't any longer about me getting the milk. The only reason I knocked on your door, you may think I'm here for the milk, but I'm here for you. Becoming much more selfless. And then Prabhupada says, so then the Parivrajakacharya, they travel around the world and they simply preach the glories of the Lord. And then the final stage is Paramahamsa. Then finally you kind of retire and you just hear and chant. Srila Prabhupada explains like that. So there's, you know, just in one purport, the unpacking of the entire Vedic culture is there. But just imagine a new person on the street gets the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and they can't even pronounce Parivrajaka. What? And they're like, Madhu who? And but as you read again and again and again and again, it goes deeper. The layers are peeled off. And the Vedic culture just becomes more and more manifest. The wisdom, the science of Krishna, the knowledge of Krishna becomes more and more manifest. Anyway, there's so much more that could be said. In fact, I didn't even speak on what I was going to speak on. mainly because I was so scared when I saw Yadubar Peru come back into the room that I've just rambled for the last amount of time in complete fear. So I think I'll stop now and see if there are any questions, anyone, or corrections. Yadubar Peru, Vishwambar Peru, Sachi Mata Jai Dev Peru. Anything? Anyone has any questions?